James Dean kind of voice I like.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Guantanamo should be closed and no such place should be created again, or no one should be, stripped of his freedom of rights based on suspicion or based on his background, or, you know, indefinitely detained and abused. And as you see, Guantanamo is still, until that day, one of the biggest human rights violations in the 21st century.
20 years ago today, the U.S. military began imprisoning Muslim men at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. Over the past two decades, the U.S. has held nearly 800 men at the secretive prison. Most were never charged with a crime. Many were tortured, held in isolation, shackled, hooded, kicked, threatened with dogs. Today, 39 prisoners remain. The U.S. now spends more than $13 million a year for each prisoner at Guantanamo. We'll spend the hour with three men who spent time at Guantanamo, two who were held without charge as prisoners, and one served as a Muslim army chaplain, then jailed himself after being falsely accused of espionage.
So on this January 11th, 2022, let's all agree that it's time to shut this place down once and for all.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in the United States has soared to its highest level of the pandemic, with over 142,000 patients surpassing even last winter's peak. The grim milestone came as the U.S. reported over 1.4 million new infections Monday, the highest daily case count of any nation so far. Nearly 1,700 U.S. deaths were reported Monday. The crisis has pushed states to mobilize National Guard teams as hospitals delay or cancel elective surgeries, and in some cases impose crisis standards of care. This is New York City emergency room physician Dr. Rahul Sharma.
The majority of patients who are getting admitted are high-risk patients who are unvaccinated or who are elderly, who have comorbidities like cancer, liver, heart failure, underlying respiratory issues, or diabetes. Now, while the disease is milder, it's also much more transmissible.
On Monday, the Biden administration said U.S. insurers must reimburse the cost of up to 8 at-home coronavirus test kits per family member per month beginning on Saturday. In Chicago, schools are back in session today, despite soaring rates of community spread. Chicago's teachers union agreed to return to classrooms after winning an agreement on enhanced COVID-19 testing in schools. In climate news, a new study finds ocean temperatures rose to a new record high last year as atmospheric carbon dioxide levels soared to a new high. This comes as Danish researchers reported Greenland's ice sheet lost more mass in 2021 than it gained for the 25th year in a row. Meanwhile, the insurance reinvestment firm Munich Re reports 2021 was the second most costly year on record, with insured losses from natural disasters totaling around $120 billion. The United Nations has launched a nearly $5 billion aid appeal for international donors to Afghanistan. UN Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator Martin Griffiths said without immediate assistance, a full-blown humanitarian catastrophe looms in Afghanistan.
A million children potentially suffering severe acute malnutrition. A million children. The figures are so hard to grasp when they're this kind of size, but a million children in Afghanistan at risk of that kind of malnutrition, if these things don't happen, is a shocking one.
In Washington, D.C., the Congressional Progressive Caucus is demanding the Biden administration lift economic sanctions imposed after the Taliban overran Afghanistan in August. The caucus tweeted, if the current U.S. economic policy toward Afghanistan continues, quote, there could be more civilian deaths this year than there were in 20 years of war, they wrote. Delegations from the United States and Russia emerged from negotiations in Geneva Monday with no sign the two sides had narrowed their differences over military tensions in Ukraine. This is Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Ryabkov.
We underscore that for us it's absolutely mandatory to make sure that Ukraine never ever becomes member of NATO.
The Biden administration says some 100,000 Russian troops have massed near Ukraine's border. Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman warned Russia Monday, if it invades Ukraine, it would face, quote, significant costs and consequences well beyond what they faced in 2014 when Russia invaded and annexed the Crimean Peninsula. South Korea and Japan say they detected a North Korean ballistic missile launch Tuesday, the North's second suspected test in a week. South Korea's military said the missile achieved a velocity more than 10 times the speed of sound before crashing in the ocean between the Korean Peninsula and Japan. Lithuania has paid $113,000 to Abu Zubaydah, the accused 9/11 conspirator who survived CIA torture before his detention in the Guantanamo Bay prison, where he's been indefinitely held since 2006 without charge. In 2018, the European Court of Human Rights ruled Lithuania and Romania violated Zubaydah's rights by allowing the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency to torture him in secret prisons. The court found the countries violated Article 3 of the Geneva Conventions, which requires the humane treatment of prisoners of war. 20 years ago today, the U.S. military began imprisoning Muslim men at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. After headlines, we'll spend the rest of the hour with three men who spent time at Guantanamo. Two Muslim prisoners and the Muslim chaplain who himself ended up being imprisoned. Authorities in the Dominican Republic have detained a key suspect in the July assassination of Haitian President Jovenel Moïse. The Associated Press reports Rodolphe Jarre was arrested Friday with the assistance of the U.S. government and is being handled as a U.S. prisoner. Jarre, who is Haitian, had been hiding in Haiti for months and was taken into custody as he attempted to cross into the Dominican Republic. He was previously convicted of drug trafficking and as a former informant for the Drug Enforcement Administration. This comes as new evidence has linked Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry with a prime suspect in the Moïse murder. Henry and Joseph Felix Baggio reportedly spoke both before and after Moïse's killing. Baggio is a former Haitian Justice Ministry official wanted on suspicion of organizing the attack against Moïse. Henri claimed power following Moïse's death. He was appointed by Moïse shortly before he was assassinated. Meanwhile, the Institute for Justice and Democracy in Haiti reports three more U.S. deportation flights left Laredo, Texas, Monday morning, expelling 297 Haitian asylum seekers, including 63 children. El Salvador's Supreme Court has reopened a criminal investigation into the 1989 massacre of six Jesuit priests carried out by a U.S.-trained death squad during the Salvadoran Civil War. Their housekeeper and her daughter were also killed. Five of the priests were from Spain, one was Salvadoran. There have been ongoing attempts to prosecute all those involved in the massacre since a 1993 amnesty law was declared unconstitutional in 2016. A Spanish court in 2020 sentenced former Salvadoran colonel Inocente Orlando Montano to 133 years for the killings of the Spanish priests. He's the only person linked to the massacre currently behind bars. President Biden and Vice President Harris are in Georgia today, pressing lawmakers to pass major voting rights legislation. Biden and Harris are touring Atlanta's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church and are paying respects at the crypts of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and his wife, Coretta. Ahead of the visit, the White House signaled Biden is supporting a special carve-out of the Senate filibuster that would allow a simple majority of senators pass two major voting rights bills that have stalled amidst unanimous U.S. Republican opposition. A number of voting rights organizations in Georgia will not be attending today's speeches by Biden and Harris. Cliff Albright, co-founder of Black Voters Matter, told reporters, quote, "We don't need even more photo ops. We need action. And that action is in the form of the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, as well as the Freedom to Vote Act. And we need that immediately," he said. Also, a person who will be absent is the gubernatorial hopeful Stacey Abrams, the most famous of the voting rights activists in Georgia. In North Carolina, a group of voters is challenging the reelection bid of Republican Congressmember Madison Cawthorn, saying his support for rioters who overran the Capitol on January 6 disqualifies him from office. Cawthorn voted against certifying Joe Biden's presidential victory and spoke at the so-called Stop the Steal rally outside the White House last January 6. The 14th Amendment, passed after the Civil War in 1868, bars people from serving in Congress if they've engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States or have provided aid or comfort to insurrectionists. The Fox News Channel has promoted the far-right TV personality Jesse Waters to a nightly primetime show. Waters first drew national attention in 2016 with a primetime segment about New York City's Chinatown full of racist anti-Asian stereotypes. Waters came under fire in December after he used violent rhetoric to call on conservative activists to confront top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci with conspiracy theories about the origin of the coronavirus pandemic.
Now you're going for the kill shot. The kill shot with an ambush, deadly, because he doesn't see it coming. Boom! He is dead! He is dead! He's done!
After those remarks, Dr. Fauci called on Fox News to fire Waters on the spot. Instead, Fox News announced Monday Waters will host his own show weeknights at 7 p.m. Here in New York, the death toll in Sunday's high-rise apartment fire in the Bronx has been revised downward to 17. Investigators say the fire began when an electric space heater malfunctioned. Victims suffered from severe smoke inhalation after a pair of open doors allowed smoke to spread throughout the 19-story building. City records show tenants of the Twin Parks Tower had complained about a lack of heat in the building and doors that didn't close automatically as required by law. The building did not have fire escapes sprinklers, and many people became trapped in upper floors where self-closing doors were supposed to have blocked toxic smoke and flames from spreading. In Knoxville, Tennessee, authorities say a fire that burned down a local Planned Parenthood clinic New Year's Eve was arson. The clinic was closed for renovations at the time. The fire was the second attack against the clinic since an evangelical protest group called the Church at Planned Parenthood moved to Knoxville a year ago. Last January, a month after the group's first protest, a person fired a shotgun at the clinic's doors, shattering the glass and peppering the reception area with bullet holes. The gunman has yet to be identified. In medical news, doctors have for the first time successfully transplanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a human being. David Bennett Sr. of Maryland is responding well after an 8-hour operation Monday. He received a heart from a pig whose genetic makeup was altered to make the organ less likely to be rejected by a human host. Dr. Bartley Griffith led the surgical team.
We've never done this in a human, and I like to think that we have given him a better option than what continuing his therapy would have been. But whether it's a day, week, month, year, I don't know.
Animal rights groups condemn the procedure known as xenotransplantation as unethical and dangerous. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals said, quote, "Animals aren't tool sheds to be raided, but complex, intelligent human beings. It would be better for them and healthier for humans to leave them alone and seek cures using modern medicine," they said. An investigation by The Washington Post found more than 1,700 United States Congress members enslaved people or were former owners of enslaved people, many of whom served in Washington long after the Civil War ended. The Washington Post researched thousands of historical documents and census records to compile what is the first ever database listing enslavers who served in Congress. and in California, mourners gathered Monday for the funeral of Valentina Orellana Peralta, the 14-year-old girl fatally shot by a Los Angeles police officer in December while she tried on dresses inside a department store dressing room. The Reverend Al Sharpton delivered the eulogy, demanding the LAPD be held accountable.
The question is, if 2 days before Christmas, would you have gone into a shopping center in Bel Air, Beverly Hills, and started shooting like that and not consider whether high-end shoppers might be hurt? The fact that the value of a life was not considered is disturbing.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will offer scattered flurries with a high of minus 3 degrees Celsius. Thursday brings scattered flurries and a high of minus 6 degrees Celsius. Friday will be mainly sunny and minus 16 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be sunny with a high of minus 20 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly sunny with a high of minus 13 degrees Celsius. Monday will have scattered flurries and a high of minus 4 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday, there will be a few flurries and a high of minus 10 degrees Celsius.
use in opening up old wounds from the past. Don't try and fake it, but I know you know it's real. Don't try and break it, we'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really you can listen to it anywhere at all.
The whole point of this podcast is we take those questions that have been lurking in the back of your mind, the mysteries of the world, and we answer them so that you don't have to.
Listeners send in those questions that they've always wondered the answer to, and we debunk them in a bite-sized, informative chunk. Thus far, we've answered questions like,
why is plastic so bad?
Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
How much wood would a woodchuck actually chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
And loads, loads more. I suppose you could say,
we expand your mind while you wash your behind.
And this week, Marcus, is no different.
Actually, it is a little bit different.
Oh, this week is a little bit different. I'm so excited to tell our listeners our news.
Our news is that for the next 8 weeks, we're partnering with Cadbury Twirl to answer the biggest question of them all. What makes a twirl so twirly? But also answering questions that have been submitted by Cadbury fans.
Marcus, what do you think makes a Cadbury Twirl so twirly?
Do you know what? I've been thinking about it every time you break open that delicious, melty, indulgent chocolate bar. I honestly think that there's some thing to do with a spiralizer. I think that there's
a spiralizer.
Like a spiralizer. Like, you know, instead of like spiralizing anything else, they're spiralizing like a giant lump of chocolate. And that's what makes it twirl so
twirly. That's your theory.
That's my theory.
Well, Marcus Olera, wait until you hear my theory next week, because it is going to knock your theory out of the pond, out of the chocolate pond.
Chocolate pond?
Chocolate pond.
I want to swim in that pond.
So guys, as Marcus said, we are also answering for the next 8 weeks questions that have been submitted by Cadbury Twirl fans. It's so exciting because we've seen some of the questions and they are absolutely brilliant. And this week's one is really kicking things off to a great start.
What is it?
How much does a cloud weigh? So as I said, this question has been submitted by Cadbury Twirl fans, and I am so, so excited that I get to answer it, because honestly, researching it brought me way back to my nerdy, sciencey, geography, mathematical days, and I had a good time, Marcus. I enjoyed it.
So, do you know what? I like to think that I'm a knowledgeable enough guy. I know loads of trivia. I'm a good person having a table quiz. But I can safely say that I couldn't even give a guess on where to begin figuring out how much a cloud weighs.
All right, little modest Einstein over there.
Yeah, okay. Go on.
But I was actually exactly the same. And it's completely understandable because they do look like big balls of floaty, fluffy candy floss. And candy floss weighs nothing.
Do you know what? I remember as a kid, I was genuinely convinced that clouds were actually candy floss.
No.
Yeah. And I actually used to get physically upset. Like, there's actually a story in my family that when I was like 4, I started crying in a plane because I couldn't go out the window and eat the clouds. I know. Always a gourmet. Always
that
a gourmet.
So funny. Like, so close, but so far, like hand on the window, almost touching the cloudy candy floss.
I know, like imagine a parent not letting their child jump out of an airplane window to try and taste cloud.
Your anyway, parents are terrible people.
Anyway, actually, as a kid, did you ever play that game where, you know, you just lie on your back and you make shapes out of clouds?
We still play that all the time. We played that game last week.
That's true. Okay, so anyway, listen, Taz, to kick things off, Answer me this. Tell me now, brethren. What exactly is a cloud?
A cloud is not candy floss, Marcus.
I've learned that since.
Okay, so according to NASA, a cloud is a visible mass of condensed watery vapor floating in the atmosphere, typically high above the general level of the ground. There are loads of different types of clouds, but the three main ones are Cirrus, Cumulus, and Stratus.
NASA, the original Sky Boys.
What does NASA stand for?
Not another space agency. National American Space Authority?
Oh, yeah. Is that more accurate? Go on anyway.
Anyway, let me see if I can remember which cloud is which from like my geography classes.
How did you do in geography in school?
I was okay. I knew my clints from my grikes.
Okay, now let's see if you know your cirrus from your cumulus.
So cumulus are the ones that are fluffy, like cotton candy.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, stratus are the ones that are like, they're actually like a layer. Like that's when, you know, it's just like a big flat kind of thing.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Which means that cirrus are like the wispy kind of ones that look a bit like a lock of hair or something.
Marcus Olera, good job.
Who's the modest Einstein now, Taz Kelleher? Anyway.
I remember I had kind of little riddles to remember, like Sirius clouds, because they're Sirius clouds are Sirius and they're not the fluffy ones. I don't know. I had loads of little riddles, but I cannot remember.
Okay, well, listen. Three types of clouds in general. Tell us more on how they're actually formed.
Okay, so roughly, believe it or not, 70% of all rainwater comes from water that has been evaporated from our oceans. So once it rains, obviously the ground is wet, and then that water evaporates as the sun warms the ground, rising as a thermal of moist air, which then cools as it rises.
Okay, right.
It sounds like you in the gym, Marcus, you know, rising as a thermal of moist air and then cooling once you rise and leave.
You know what, Taz, for this godly physique, it's worth it. Just
an explainer here. Yep. Marcus is kissing his guns.
Need a license for these babies. Pew, pew, pew.
Oh, God. Okay, back on track. So the water is evaporated from the earth and then it cools once it rises to form clouds.
Okay.
Cold air can't hold as much as warm air, though.
So, okay, is that why high altitude mountaineers become dehydrated?
Yeah, because the cold air doesn't have as much moisture in it.
Okay, right. Do you know, I saw that in a documentary and it's been on my mind. Cool.
So at certain temperatures known as the dew point, the water vapor starts to rematerialize as tiny droplets of water. And this is the beginning of a cloud.
Or depending how you look at it, could be like a dinosaur or Japan or a pig with wings. Apparently goes, do you know what? Like a cloud is just like, it's a potential shape waiting to happen and your imagination is the limit.
Okay, so although a cloud looks fluffy and friendly, like Casper the Friendly Ghost, or what did you say, a pig with wings?
Pig with wings, yeah.
Yeah, so it looks light and fluffy, but it is a collection of tiny droplets of water. And so it's obviously a lot heavier than one might think.
But I mean, like, what do? You can't just like hold a weighing scales above your head and hope that one cloud just drifts along and that you can get away. Like, how can you go about weighing a cloud when it's in the sky?
Okay, so listeners, you may have guessed that neither Marcus nor myself have the scientific knowledge nor capabilities to literally weigh a cloud. I would enjoy seeing Marcus stand out for days on end with a weighing scales, hoping for something to drop, but I wouldn't even put him through that. But we're leaving this experiment to a scientist named Peggy Lamone, who is a researcher at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in the US of A.
So what kind of cloud did Peggy weigh and how did she do it?
Okay, so this experiment was conducted on a typical cumulus cloud, which is, Marcus?
The fluffy ones, candy floss clouds.
And the first thing that they needed to do was to find out the density of the cumulus cloud. So this experiment is all to do with the maths of density, mass and volume.
Okay.
So the first thing that they needed to do was find out the density. Density being, Marcus?
The type of intelligence that I was described as having by my geography teacher, Mr. Leahy, who was like, Marcus, you're dense. No, density is like the degree of kind of compactness of a substance, like how much something can be like, you know, shoved into, like when something is very dense, it weighs a lot, but it doesn't take much space up. Does that kind of...
Yeah, so density is kind of how much something weighs compared to how much space it's taking up.
Okay, cool, I get you.
So scientists have measured the water density of a typical cumulus fluffy cloud. This is how much actual water droplets is in a certain amount of the cloud, a fake cloud that they made, okay? They made a fake cloud.
Amazing.
And they found it to be half a gram of water per cubic meter. Half a gram of water per cubic meter of fluffiness, which is about a small marble's worth of water in the space of, an area that you and a pal could comfortably sit in.
A large shower cubicle, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Okay, so now we know about the density of a typical cumulus cloud. So how do we get the weight of that from there?
So next thing we need to figure out is how big the cloud is, or the volume of the cloud. I don't know if you'll remember what volume equals, Marcus. I feel like this is actually a test. I'm quizzing you on all kinds of knowledge.
Volume is what I'd be pumping up in the club, yo.
Oh, God.
No, volume is it's everything. So it's like length and width and height, isn't it?
Volume equals length by breadth by height, or length by width by height.
Mm-hmm.
So by measuring a cloud's shadow, when the sun is directly above it, you can get an idea of its width.
Okay.
Because it's obviously casting a shadow straight onto the ground. Limone does this by watching her meter in her car as she drives under a cloud.
Okay.
So she starts where the shadow begins and she stops where the shadow ends, looks at the meter and sees the distance of that shadow. A typical cumulus cloud, she says, is about a kilometre across, and they're usually roughly cubical, so a kilometre long and a kilometre tall as well. So that's how you got the length, the width and the height, which is all a kilometre in length.
So it's like a kilometre by a kilometre by a kilometre.
Yeah, so the volume equals 1,000 metres by 1,000 metres by 1,000 metres. And I know. And that gives you a cloud that is 1 billion cubic metres in volume.
What?
Yep.
Okay, so with the density and the volume, how do we get the weight then? How do we extrapolate the information in front of us?
Okay, so what we're measuring is the actual amount of water in a cloud, okay? So the weight of a cloud is the amount of water in it. So the water mass of a cloud. Mass equals density by volume. So if you multiply the density of the cloud multiplied by the volume of the cloud, yeah, that equals about 500 million grams of water in a typical cumulus cloud.
I genuinely cannot even comprehend that amount of anything. I'm trying to think, 500 million
grams.
That's like, give me something that would be like equivalent to.
Yeah, so luckily Limone gave us something to compare it to that you will definitely understand more, Marcus.
Okay.
Elephants.
Elephants?
Elephants.
Elephants?
So typical cumulus cloud that she weighed is about as much as 100 elephants.
Oh my God, and that's above our heads.
I know.
So that's crazy, first of all. That's absolutely mental that the average cloud is 100 elephants and there's about a million average clouds in the Irish sky every day. So that's like 100 million elephants.
But you know what's also, that is incredible and it's insane. The result of this shocked me. I can't believe that that's how much it weighs. But it also amazed me how kind of simple it was to get to that answer, like by just using science and maths.
Crazy. So in theory, using the density that Peggy Limone calculated in a typical cumulus cloud, technically, if you're willing to do all the work and measuring and use that science which you were talking about, you could actually find out the weight of any cumulus cloud.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're willing to do the driving and the shadows, etc., etc. But obviously this only works for kind of, you know, an average for a cumulus cloud, and Sirius clouds and Stratus clouds have different densities. So this is just on a cumulus cloud. So for an average cumulus cloud, once you have a car or something to drive the length of it, you can actually figure out the weight or mass of a cloud.
Do you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to be able to see Casper the Friendly Ghost or a flying pig or a dinosaur or anything again. Because, like, honestly, every time I look up at the sky, all I'm going to see is Peggy Limone looking down going, do your maths. That was such a good question. And as we mentioned at the start, these questions are the twirly thoughts that are being sent in by Cadbury. And at the end of this, we're going to try and figure out what makes a twirl so twirly.
And not only that, in the next 7 weeks, Cadbury Twirl are going to be sending us in more mythical mystery questions like this one that we are going to do our best to debunk. So loads in the horizon, lovely listeners.
We're going to be answering Cadbury questions for the next 7 weeks, but we would still love to hear your submissions. If you have any, feel free to message us on Facebook or Instagram. Couldn't be easier. Just look up In the Shower with Taz and Marcus on Facebook.
If you have a question that you would like us to answer, you can get us on email at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Couple of thank yous. First of all, thank you to you, the listener, for sticking with us for almost a year.
I know.
See you next week.
I see you next week. This is episode number 51.
Next week. And getting us to the point where we can work with cool brands and answer cool questions and have a great bank of loyal listeners like yourself. You rock. You're awesome. Your bum looks great today. Good on you.
Good on you. We love you, listeners, and we love when you get in touch. So please, please do so. Next up, thank you so much to the lovely people at the Headstuff Podcast Network for all the work you do for In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. We couldn't do it without you.
A massive thank you to the ever charming Florence Robinson, who designed our wonderful logo. Flo, we love you.
And finally, thank you so much to Dave Gertzman for doing our lovely, lovely podcast jingle.
So, Taz, next week's question.
Next week's question is a very, very exciting one sent in by Cadbury yet again. These questions are so good and I'm so excited to answer them. What is it, Marcus?
This is actually a question I can't believe we haven't gotten this before, because it's something I've seen over and over and over again, and I've always accepted it as fact, but they challenged it and it's going to be a hell of an episode.
What is it? What is it?
Why don't ducks' quacks echo?
That episode is going to be out next Monday morning in time for your shower. But in the meantime,
keep scrubbing.
This podcast is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. You made the planets and the universe alive. You picked the stars and night that shine beneath the sky. The sun and moon are glowing, fully glistening. Heaven is looking down, the earth is listening. You made the planets and the universe align. You picked the stars at night that shine beneath the sky. The sun and moon are glowing, fully glistening. Heaven is looking down, the earth is listening.
You highway. Well, I
Well, that wraps up the show for today. See you next week on the Wednesday Morning After. Keep on listening to CKUT.
For your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec. Thank you.